I knew this would happen. Good morning. I'm just going to just enjoy that first moment of when you take your mask off and you can breathe and your glasses start to, you can see clearly again. What a wonderful thing. I too have just come off a week of isolation. We've had COVID in our household, but we seem to have dodged bullets and we have now moved out, which is a wonderful thing. So it's really interesting. Is there something wrong with the people over here? Because it seems like there's like a massive aisle and then like two groups over here. I just want to say you're special, okay? So we're talking about the work of the Holy Spirit, especially with a focus on the Gospel of John. So what we're going to do, I'm going to give you like a really brief kind of brushstroke over the work of the Holy Spirit going through the Old Testament into the New, and then we're going to make it personal, okay? Then we're going to make it personal. So, thinking about the Old Testament, we find the Holy Spirit at the beginning, right at the very beginning, the Holy Spirit hovering over the waters. And we see the Holy Spirit come at certain times, in certain places, on certain people, for certain purposes. So you look at Gideon being filled with the Spirit as he was gathering an army, which kept being taken away from him. And then Samson being given the Holy Spirit for strength. But then as we start to reach the end of the Old Testament, we see promises. Promises are saying the Holy Spirit will come and will be for all. Ezekiel 36, I will put my Spirit in you. I'll give you a new heart. I'll put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my Spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. And then Joel 2. Afterwards, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. So the Spirit in the New Testament and in the times we are in now is for all. It is for each one of us, male, female, young, old. The Holy Spirit is given for all. So John 16, it says, another counselor is coming, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit that will guide us, that will teach us and show us truth, that will remind us of everything that Jesus has said. In John 14, it says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. So then when we think about Acts 2, in a sense, we're having like a pre-Pentecost Pentecost, okay? So think about Acts 2, where the Spirit of God is poured out on all people. So I don't know what your experience is of the person of the Holy Spirit. When I came to faith, I was 19 years old. It was just before I went off to uni. And I went to a really great student church in Bristol and had wonderfully solid Bible teaching. But the Trinity in that church was the Father, Son, and the Holy Bible. So basically the role of the Holy Spirit was to point to Jesus and to shine a light on Scripture. Now that, of course, is a huge part of what the Holy Spirit does, but it's not the only part. But then the interesting thing was, in my second year, there was a youth ministry, and the church was this wonderful old sort of Gothic revival building. And the services, big services upstairs, and then downstairs in the crypt, the youth ministry happened. And I was invited to be part of the youth ministry, and the worship downstairs was very, very different to the worship upstairs. And there was something about an experience of encountering the Holy Spirit. I guess I saw for the first time that the Holy Spirit was dynamic. The Holy Spirit was someone who moved and who moved in power. So the Holy Spirit is the dynamic presence of God. So just going back to John 14, it says, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. So just hold on to that for a minute. The Holy Spirit is with you. And the Holy Spirit is in you. Can I just say on your behalf, whoa! if you're not saying, whoa, just think about that. The Holy Spirit is with you, and the Holy Spirit is in you. So you are, I was going to say standing, you are sitting on holy ground. Because the person next to you, the person behind you, the person in front of you has the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, the power and the presence, the dynamic presence of God living in them. That should make you go, whoa. Just look around. Come on. Yeah, feel free, socially distanced, to say, whoa. So if you think, I am not good enough to have the power and presence of God living in me, okay, it's not about you. It's about what Jesus has done for you and about the promise that he's given you that the Spirit will be put in you like a deposit. Ephesians 1 talks about it being like the first fruits, a seal upon your heart of the work that God has done. So if you think about it, and sometimes I don't know about you, but I look at my life and it just feels messy. And you think, surely the Holy Spirit can't be kind of living amidst this mess. But if you think about it, God knows everything, doesn't he? Okay. He knew when he promised the Holy Spirit to each one of us, those who have gone before us, those who will come after us. He knows that our lives are messy. And still he said, I am going to give you the dynamic power and presence of God in you and with you to live for me. Again, that should make you go, whoa. Wonderful. I think it needs a little bit more power in that one, okay? Whoa. Wonderful. There we go. Nikki Gumbel, the kind of architect of the Alpha Course on the Holy Spirit weekend, he uses an image. Now, this is a particular image, especially those who've lived in England will resonate with. But it's that of the Holy Spirit being given like a deposit, like the pilot light of a gas boiler. Okay, now I remember growing up, the particular sound of the central heating coming on first thing in the morning. So there'll be a gas boiler quite often in your kitchen or utility room. And there was a little light always on, okay, lit by gas. And then you'd set your timer for the central heating to come on in the morning. And you'd hear a woof. Yeah, and it's funny, just the sound of it. It's kind of really resonant. And it's that sense of the Holy Spirit being given to us like a deposit. So we all have the flame, the presence and power of God lit within us. But sometimes we need the woof. We need that sense of kind of, I guess, ignition. So God lives within us. The wonderful thing is that we get to partner with God in this. So if there's that sense of God living in us and being with us through his Holy Spirit, then he's going to use each one of us. So those that he's given the Spirit to, he will use, in a sense, to minister. So there's this wonderful sense of partnership. So that if you have the Spirit of God living in you, which you do, God wants to use you. There's that sense of partnership with him. So we're going to think in a little while about how it is that we see and acknowledge God's presence and work in our midst. There's one particular story that came to mind for me when I think of this, in a sense, the partnership that we have to play and how the Spirit interacts with our lives. A lot of you may know that that we were on a trajectory to move overseas. We were expecting to move to India. And last year, it became pretty clear that we couldn't go. And there was a particular week when we had to take certain steps to shut it down. And in a sense, allow, I guess, what we felt was a God-given dream to be laid aside. And that week, we heard from an amazing number of people all over the world who got in touch at a certain time who didn't know about that. And it's that sense of the Spirit of God prompting other people at certain times, you know, just to get in touch. So we have that role, and especially what it is to be church family together, we have that role in one another's lives to be the bearers of God's Spirit, okay? To be alert to what it is that he wants to do and wants to say. One of the words for the Holy Spirit in Greek is parakletos, the one who comes alongside. So again, God will use those who he has filled. So our job is to come alongside one another and the people around us and say, God, what is it you want me to do? How do you want me to encourage the people around me? So it's a glorious partnership based out of relationship. Now, the word relationship is a challenge because the Holy Spirit is not an academic theological proposition. It's not a concept to understand. The Holy Spirit is a person to know and is a person to encounter and is a person to engage with. I could tell you about my friend Chris. My friend Chris was one of my best men. I had two best men because I needed that much organizing. And I can tell you about my friend Chris. He's a lovely, lovely guy. He's affectionate. He's fiercely intelligent. He's really funny. He's got some terrible kind of puns. He's got a strong heart for justice. But I can tell you about him, but it's not the same as if I actually brought Chris with me and if he was standing next to me this morning and you met him face to face. You heard his voice. You saw him interact. And it's the same with the Holy Spirit. I can tell you about him. You can tell me about his work. But unless we encourage one another to engage and encounter the living, powerful presence of God, it's just a theological, academic proposition. And often, if we're honest, we like to keep it that way because then we can hold God at arm's length. We don't actually let him have to come and be Lord in our life because he remains a proposition. So David's been talking about moving from that sense of knowing God, knowing about God, to knowing God. And it's the same with the Holy Spirit. So I've got three words for you to remember. Well, actually four if you include the whoa. Okay. So three words: yielding, inviting, and responding. So we talked about the convenience of holding God at arm's length, holding the Holy Spirit at arm's length. Yielding. We need to yield to who God is, to acknowledge his power and presence. There is something about us humbling ourselves before God, and moving beyond fear, moving beyond that sense of we are not good enough, but yielding to the fact that actually we have a supernatural God. In a sense, this is where I kind of proudly say, I believe we have a supernatural God. I know in a society that is highly rational, that sometimes questions that, you go, actually, we have a God who's living. We have a God who's working, who's moving. We have a God who speaks. Sometimes we don't understand how he moves. Sometimes we don't understand how he speaks. But boy, he is. So we need to yield. We need to keep inviting God. Keep asking. Jesus talks about asking, seeking, and knocking. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. So we need to keep inviting the power and presence of God, in a sense, to take that little flame that was in it, is within us, to breathe on it and to see the woof, that sense of invitation. I've heard it said before that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman or gentle person, goes where he's welcome. So sometimes we have to quiet ourselves down. We actually have to shift our thinking to inviting him, saying, come, I need you. I want you in my life. Holy Spirit, I invite you to come. So we need to keep inviting. And God is gracious, but also God invites us sometimes to go looking for him. I had a picture a few years ago, and it was of a river. And down by the river, there were just people on the bank standing there with their hands open, looking upwards, almost saying, come on, come on. And then there were buckets next to the riverbank. And then these streams, this flow of living water kind of pouring along the river. So sometimes, well, guess what am I saying? We're called to actively engage. So sometimes we need to pick up our buckets and go and find living water. So yielding, inviting, and responding. So often we're called to respond. We're called to respond to the work of God, to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, to his prompts, to his overtures, to his voice. So I want to invite you now just to think and to remember. So my question for each of you is this. Just think back over the time that you've been a Christian. For some people, that might be 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, a lifetime. Just think for a moment about the ways that the Holy Spirit has encountered you. So just take time. I'm going to give a few seconds for you to think. Maybe just take the time as you think just to thank God for those moments where you have seen the power and presence of God break through. Awesome. I want to acknowledge that the Holy Spirit meets with us in different ways. We're wired differently, we're shaped differently, we have different temperaments. And I think God meets with us in lots of different ways. So it's different for different people. But as I was thinking about my answer to that question, I was just thinking about some of the ways that the Holy Spirit has kind of ministered to me or spoken to me. And I just wrote a few of these down. And so one of them was just that presence of peace, that sense of the peace of God. Sometimes just a quiet filling with peace. Sometimes it's a sense of joy. Sometimes it's a revelation about who God is, what he's done, maybe who I am in the light of that. Sometimes it might come through a word or a picture or obviously through scripture. Sometimes the Holy Spirit ministers to us with tears. Sometimes he breaks us in order to heal us. Sometimes it's laughter. Sometimes it's a physical sensation. Sometimes for me, it's the fluttering of my eyelids. I know that sounds really weird, but sometimes I have an awareness of the presence of God with a heat and a fluttering of my eyelids. Sometimes it's with speaking in tongues. Sometimes it's with that sense of an empowered creativity. And I think wherever the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. And there is life, so there's a lightness and a sweetness. So even if it's serious, even if it's big and deep, there is a lightness and a sweetness to it. So do you want a bit of that? Do you want a bit of that? John 7, it says Jesus speaking at the Feast of Tabernacles. He says, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. So if there is a time, in a sense, to go after God, to want more, surely it is now. Surely it is now. Surely the people around us need that. In Ephesians 5, it talks about being filled, being continually filled with the Spirit again and again and again. We leak, don't we? Sometimes we're buffeted by life and we just need it again and again and again. We need more of that living water. And this is what we have to offer to a depleted world, to a world that takes, is a God that gives his power, that gives his presence, that gives life, that gives his streams of living water. So I want to give you an invitation. This is going to sound really weird, but as soon as I started preparing for this sermon, which is now 2 or 3 weeks ago, I just had the words, and it was kind of sung. So I'm just going to sing them to you, slightly embarrassing. But it's just been going round and round in my head, and I think it's an invitation, and it was from Jesus to you. Okay? And it's just the simple words, come to the river. Come to the river with me. Will you come to the river? Will you come to the river with me? Will you come to the river? Will you come to the river with me? So will you come? Shall we stand? I'm just going to invite you as a response. Now, obviously, we have to remain socially distanced. But the wonderful thing is the Spirit of God does not have to adhere to social distancing guidelines. So I just want to invite you, just put your hands out. It's just an outward sign of an inward desire. For us to come to the river. To come and find his peace. To come and find hope. To come and find strength. To have the Spirit draw alongside us as a comforter, as an advocate, as a teacher, as an empowerer, as one who fills and gives us what we need. So Lord, we yield to you. Lord, we humble ourselves before you and say we need you. We acknowledge that we are designed to be in communion with our Creator. As created beings, that we are, in a sense, created to be filled, to be empowered. And so, Lord, will you come? As we come to the river, we seek you. Encourage you just in the quiet, just to, in a sense, pray prayers of invitation. Holy Spirit, come. Prayers of invitation that, in a sense, God may breathe further, deeper, more into your life. Truth is that God meets us where we are. He meets us at our point of need. So again, as just using the image of Andrew, is in a sense, take the jacket off. Allow yourself to be seen before God. Be real. Ask him into the darkest spaces in your life. have a picture going around my mind, and it's this sense of an invitation from God that there may be people who've got slightly tangled views of who he is, the way he provides, the way he gives, the way he ministers, the way he saves. There might be a slightly kind of tangled way of thinking about God, that instead of being a generous God, he's stingy. Instead of being merciful, he holds it against us. And it's just, I think, that sense of God wanting to untangle and untwist ways of thinking about him that have become confused. So if that's you, I know sometimes that can be me, my prayer for you is, Lord, may you untangle those wrong ways of thinking. Will you replace them with truth? You say, Holy Spirit, that you are a teacher, that you come and kind of illuminate the words of Jesus, the truths of Jesus. So will you illuminate those in our lives? Lord, that where we have thought about you in ways that have not been true or not been helpful, Lord, I pray that you will illuminate, convict us. Thank you, Lord, that when you convict, you never condemn. You gently reveal to us the path of truth. So Lord, lead us in ways of truth.
I think often when we give space and time for God to be amongst us, God does speak to us in different ways. And I just want to encourage you that if you've had an image in your head, if you've had a sense of a scripture, a sense of something God is saying to you, that you share that with someone before you leave today. You know, it's quite likely we could go around the room and there's numbers of people. We could give you the microphone. You could say, oh, this is the image that I felt. This is what I felt like God was saying to me. But I think just if I can encourage you to just share that with someone. And not let go of some of those things that God wants to bring healing in your world. Often we don't give time. But just as we're just going to sing again, but as we do that, allow, I guess, Holy Spirit to continue to speak to you. It may bring some things up in your past that you want to talk about with someone. Then I just encourage you to do that. Because God wants us to be free. He wants to heal us. He wants to be fully amongst us. So as we